From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Dunleavy administration's decision to defer to EPA over safe levels of PFAS chemicals in drinking water came at the direction of the governor's top aides. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, critics raised questions about whether the decision was based on science or politics.
In Kelly McLaughlin's house, the drinking water sits in 5-gallon jugs.
It's not a replacement for running water, and it's not a replacement for, you know, fresh water in the kitchen. So basically what we use it for is drinking and then boiling anything.
She lives in Gustavus, a small southeast community of around 400 people. About a dozen households have wells contaminated by PFAS. It's a family of man-made chemicals that for decades were used in everything from nonstick frying pans to flame retardant foam for putting out jet fuel fires. And now it's in the drinking water of at least 9 communities in Alaska. McLaughlin is troubled that her toddler drinks the bath water and is tall enough to reach the tap when she's thirsty. She's too little to know better.
I mean, I don't know how to explain that. How do you say that to a 2-year-old, you know? You can't taste it, but it's really gross. It's bad water. You know, I don't know.
The health effects of PFAS are still being understood, but numerous studies show links to cancer, reproductive problems, and effects on the immune system. Much of Alaska's PFAS contamination is linked to a flame retardant foam used by firefighters around airports and on military bases. When PFAS was detected last fall in Gustavus, McLaughlin was critical of the Walker administration's approach, but she says agency staff did their best. Then leadership at state agencies changed following the election of Governor Mike Dunleavy.
And there's definitely just, I mean, major lockdown. People that I could call and ask information before now have to send it up the chain of command, and then I don't even often get it.
So what happened? Well, first, the state's Department of Environmental Conservation quietly rolled back its PFAS regulations in April. It was testing for 6 compounds. Now it only tests for 2. That brings Alaska in line with the Trump administration's EPA. DEC Commissioner Jason Bruni defended the move to skeptical House lawmakers who had concerns about whether the EPA's standards are strict enough.
I absolutely understand that concern. I have staff that have a very similar concern as well. I also have staff that are of the opinion we should be going with what the EPA is doing.
Bruni's reference to divided opinion among his staff followed the leak of an internal memo written by a senior state scientist objecting to the rollback. Sally Schlichting, a DEC policy analyst responsible for drafting regulations, wrote that as a science-based agency, we must use a science-based approach to set standards, unquote. In her memo, she charged that the state was ignoring the advice of its own environmental and public health experts on PFAS. So if not science, what was behind the change? Journalist Dermot Cole filed a public records request in April to try and find out.
I wanted to see how much of a political decision this was.
A month later, he received a ream of emails, almost completely redacted, between the governor's top political staff and agency commissioners. The emails were mostly blank, but from the headers, it was evident that the governor's chief of staff, Tuckerman Babcock, former head of Alaska's Republican Party, was directing revisions for the state's allowable PFAS limits in drinking water. Governor Dunleavy's press secretary, Matt Shekarow, says there isn't anything unusual about regulations being reviewed by the governor's top aides.
This is an issue that crosses multiple agencies, and it's imperative that we get as much input from commissioners, from their staff, to get the best advice and the best guidance.
He wouldn't address why the email contents were blanked out. Frustrated by the lack of transparency, Cole wrote about his findings on his blog last month.
I think it's a mockery of the public process. It may be a legal one, but it's a mockery of the public process to release a bunch of emails that basically say hello and goodbye, and everything else is kept secret.
To be clear, withholding the content of these emails is legal. Alaska's public records law has broad exemptions. Now, going back to the idea that the EPA's PFAS standards fall short, the Dunleavy administration's decision to rely on them has its critics. David Andrews is a chemist with Environmental Working Group in D.C. He says EPA's action plan doesn't deliver.
There's no explicit timeline. There's no definitive actions. They've really essentially deferred decision-making a little bit further down the line.
Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski is among 31 co-sponsors of a bill that would force the EPA's hand. It would compel the federal government to declare all PFAS chemicals hazardous substances within a year. Andrews says it's a critical piece of legislation.
It really initiates the cleanup process and requires contaminated sites to be addressed.
Back in Gustavus, Kelly McLaughlin says she has jars of last year's bear meat she'd unwittingly canned with PFAS contaminated tap water.
I mean, it's poison, so I don't know what to do with it. It's just sitting on my kitchen counter, so I don't know where to get rid of it.
Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The Mueller Report has been available for 7 weeks now. You can buy it in paperback. You can read it online for free. You can even get an I Read the Mueller Report button for bragging rights. But Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin discovered that no one in Alaska's congressional delegation can rightfully wear that button. Not yet, anyway.
If you want to know about Russian interference in the 2016 election and whether there's evidence President Trump obstructed a federal investigation, former special counsel Robert Mueller says, just read the report.
It contains our findings and analysis and the reasons for the decisions we made. We chose those words carefully, and the work speaks for itself.
But there are a lot of words, 448 pages.
There are sections of it that are just slow, and it's just kind of you're wading through it.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's not done, but she's reading the report cover to cover.
I feel like I've got an obligation to do so, and so I'm giving it the time. You know, you take out the yellow highlighter, you take the pen out, you write notes.
Senator Dan Sullivan is not committed to that approach.
I have not read the whole thing. It's almost 500 pages. I've read the summary, and my staff's been reading the whole thing.
So do you intend to go through it page by page?
Perhaps. I have a lot of reading to do. But
Sullivan was more certain about one of Mueller's chief findings.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Russians interfered with the election in a systematic way?
No doubt.
The Mueller report spells out Russian actions designed to help candidate Trump and undermine the campaign of Hillary Clinton. Sullivan says U.S. defense and intelligence agencies made sure that didn't happen again in the 2018 election.
You know, a lot of it's classified, but we were not, particularly in the cyber area, we were not kind of a passive target as we have been in the past.
Both senators say the entire Trump administration is dedicated to preventing foreign interference in the 2020 presidential election. Murkowski says everyone, including the president, realizes Russia hasn't changed its ways.
It may have been that they didn't want Clinton before. You know, it could be that in the next election they don't want Trump.
A spokesman for Representative Don Young says the congressman is reviewing the Mueller report. He didn't say whether that includes a page-by-page read. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Military personnel, contractors, and invited guests celebrated a milestone in the construction of a massive radar facility Tuesday at Clear Air Force Station near Anderson, including Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation President and CEO Jim Dodson.
That structure that they were topping off today is the framework that will support the radar unit.
Topping ceremonies are typically held as the final girder of a structure's frame is put in place. In Tuesday's ceremony, a girder painted red, white, and blue was riveted into place for a structure that will house the long-range discrimination radar. The LRDR is an advanced system designed to detect incoming enemy missiles mid-flight, identify the warhead amid countermeasures, and then relay that data to missile defense facilities like Fort Greely's to enable interception. Work on the LRDR was scheduled to be completed late next year, according to a Missile Defense Agency document. A group of Alaska state lawmakers say the municipality of Anchorage has failed to use its authority to clear illegal homeless encampments on public land. Anchorage Daily News reported that 9 state legislators signed a letter Monday asking the city to immediately start cleaning up camps and disposing of waste. City officials say the letter fails to offer realistic solutions to a complex issue and did not acknowledge work already occurring. Some officials say they consider the letter offensive and misguided, while also inaccurately interpreting a federal court ruling that blocks city government's prohibitions against sleeping on the streets when no shelter is available. At its meeting Monday night, the Anchorage Assembly formally honored 2 local musicians who recently won a prominent artistic award. Out of more than 6,000 submissions from around the globe, Anchorage residents Quinn Christofferson and Nick Carpenter won NPR's Tiny Desk Concert Contest. In their music video for the song Erase Me, Christofferson sings at the Anchorage Museum in front of an iconic oil painting of Denali by Sidney Lawrence. Assemblymember Christopher Constant introduced the musicians as he presented them with the city's official recognition.
Quinn Christofferson is a proud transgender Athabascan and Inupiaq singer-songwriter born and raised in Anchorage.
Carpenter originally hails from Atlanta, Georgia, but is a longtime Alaska resident and sings in the local band Medium Build. The winning song is a pensive reflection on the gender privileges Christofferson has observed in the process of transitioning from female to male. As for their future plans, Christofferson says the duo is leaving Alaska for a short tour.
And playing Seattle and L.A., Austin and New York, and hopefully get a record deal.
Awesome.
And one final tech story. Amazon said Wednesday it expects to be delivering orders to shoppers' homes by drones in the coming months. The online shopping giant did not give exact timing or say which locations the self-driving drones will be making deliveries. Amazon has been working on drone delivery for years. The company says the new drones are able to detect and avoid people, pets, and laundry clotheslines in customers' backyards when landing. Amazon's Jeff Wilkie says the drones are fully electric, can fly up to 15 miles, deliver in 30 minutes, and carry goods that weigh up to 5 pounds. He says the company is working with several regulatory agencies for approvals. And that's the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.